There is quite a lot in today's gospel to distract us from the comfort and joy we are promised in the Word. The human suffering of those murdered by Pilate while at worship, and of those crushed in a tragic accident of a collapsing tower. This news is met by Jesus with words like sinner and repent and perish. And it's easy to let our own histories with those words and the abusive ways in which they have too often been used to prevent us from actually listening to what Jesus is teaching. The victims of those horrible deaths were not more sinful than anyone else. They did not die as some sort of divine punishment, which the rest of us do not deserve. Violence and disaster are not part of God's plan for managing humanity, and so cannot be used as evidence for the moral character of those who suffer or of those who escape such suffering. But still, there is that line repeated twice. Unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. It can be very hard not to hear language like this as punitive, as a threat. Hard not to think of God as a harsh judge who ensures our good behavior with the promise of eternal punishment or eternal reward. And I will not lie and say that such a vision is entirely absent from our scriptures. Indeed, we heard it from St. Paul himself just this morning. And maybe in 3 years' time, when these lections come back up, I'll be ready to tackle Paul. But our scriptures record not only God's response to humanity, but also humanity's fumbling towards God. And over again, this punitive vision of God is rejected by God's self, calling us always to return and find abundant pardon and true delight. We heard it in the wonderful language of Isaiah's prophecy this morning. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I think we have a hard time hearing this, no matter how often it is repeated, because it is fundamentally not how we are inclined to organize ourselves. We rely on systems of punishment and reward. We want assurances that we will be safe from disaster, so we want to divide the world into worthy and unworthy and put ourselves safe on the side of the worthy. But this is not how God operates. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways. But what then is Jesus saying? Unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. We need to push past those big, scary words, repent, perish, and pay attention to three little ones instead. As they did. For remember, we will all perish, whether we repent or not. Death is not avoidable. In fact, Jesus taught us that avoiding death is not necessarily even desirable. So how did the victims of Pilate and of the tower perish? And how might repentance change that end for us if it isn't to prevent the perishing itself? We already know that their deaths were not about their sin or their righteousness. So the repentance Jesus is calling for is not simply about confessing our sins and seeking for forgiveness. It is a deeper kind of repentance. Fortunately, Jesus keeps teaching. Perhaps less fortunately, it's with a parable. He tells a story about a man with a fig tree in his vineyard. And as a little aside, I learned that it was common practice to plant fig trees in vineyards so the grapes could use them as trellises, fruit-producing trellises. This fig tree, however, had not produced fruit for a number of years, and the owner, seeing it as a waste, tells the gardener to cut it down. The gardener offers a counterproposal. Let me give it some extra care this year and see if it can't be nurtured into bearing fruit next year. If not, we can cut it down then. So how do we map this story onto Jesus' warning? Unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. First, we need to resist the urge to cast God as the harsh and demanding landowner. That's our baggage, not God's nature. God calls us to buy bread and wine without money, to delight in God's steadfast love and live. Second, we need to remember that death is not to be avoided, but rather is a part of life, is in fact the path to life. If the fig tree cannot bear fruit, cutting it down is not a punishment. It's just good gardening, making room for something new to flourish in the vineyard. And third, we need to recognize that the fig tree is being given time and attention so that it may, in fact, bear fruit before it eventually dies, which it is guaranteed to do, whether at the hands of the landowner or simply in the normal course of its life. And this, I think, is the key to interpreting today's teaching. Sudden, violent, senseless deaths are not punishments for lives lived badly. They are tragedies because they are lives at least partly wasted. Lives that did not have the opportunity to flourish and to bear fruit to the fullness of their potential before being cut down. Of course, such wastefulness can mark even very long lives, ending in very peaceful deaths, if we choose to ignore the invitation to love and serve God and our neighbor, if we choose to live fearful and small lives of half-truths and selfishness and meaningful indulgence, if we choose to abuse and bury the image of God we bear. Unless you repent, Jesus warns, you will all perish as they did. Tragically, with fruits still to be shared with the world. So repent, which is to say, turn. Turn again and again back to God, who is our patient and attentive gardener. Offer yourself up to be pruned and fed and watered. Reach your roots deep into the fertile soil and your branches high toward the sunshine so that you might bear all the fruit you possibly can for however long your fragile, beautiful life turns out to be. Strive to take every opportunity to be kind, to seek and to offer forgiveness, to use your talents for the good of the world around you, to learn, to join in the sorrow and in the joy of others. Thanks be to God. To be generous, to be patient, to give thanks, to choose justice. It really is that simple. And it really is that hard. It is the beginning of eternal life. Repent, that when we die knowing that we have lived to the fullest of our possible God-given potential.